This is the new Radio EcoShock on Resonance 104.4 FM, London's arts radio station. Find us every Tuesday at noon. On November 28th, the alleged leaders of the world gather to give themselves permission to keep pouring out more greenhouse gases into our atmosphere. Maybe they will make money with carbon trading schemes. Maybe they will plot to darken the sun with geoengineering. The people who live in Durban have other ideas. Here's Bongani Matembu from the South Durban Community Environmental Alliance, courtesy of a World Development Movement video.
I'm really appealing to civil society, to NGOs here in the UK, to lobby and make sure to come together and unite with us in solidarity in making sure that the government of UK is actually stopping its finance that is going via the World Bank, because it's not helping our countries, it's not helping the continent, and it's not helping the planet. Yeah, running up to Durban, we've been having a number of community workshops, you know, trying to build the awareness and making sure that the people, they see the need of them being involved, you know, because this will be a huge, you know, it will be a global conference. So we have seen that our government during last year, during the World Cup, even a four-year-old, it was indoctrinated in their head that the World Cup is coming. You know, the government made sure that the hype is there, you know, through the media and so forth and so forth. But now it's actually a different case now since the COP is coming to Durban, you know. Government is not actually publicizing and not bringing that awareness to communities like how they did with the World Cup. We really need a mean business, you know. As civil society, as activists, as environmental justice activists, we really mean business, you know. We're actually experiencing climate change. It's happening now, but it's something we actually need a change, you know. We need it from yesterday, so we need change now. They really need to commit themselves in changing their world for the better. Countries like the UK, they have to pay for the debts that they have actually put in our countries, you know. Like, for instance, you know, they've been benefiting from the global south. Since they have been benefiting from the global south, they should be paying the debts, you know. Not issuing climate loans, they should be actually compensating those countries rather than paying loans. So we are totally against the word of loans, because that means they are actually putting us in more debts. That has been a major, huge problem back in the country, not only in the country, but in the continent as a whole. Because we have seen that Madupi is one of the biggest dirty coal power stations that has been built in South Africa, that has been funded by the World Bank. And we know that the UK government has been putting money via the World Bank. And we are saying that the UK government needs to stop that, because apparently the World Bank has been saying that they want to fight poverty and reduce poverty. But with them funding such projects like Madupi and Kusile, that means it's actually they are contradicting with their statement. Because that is actually making the poverty queues more longer by them funding this unsustainable development. It's actually affecting them huge, due to that they have to pay high tariffs of electricity, of which the same multi-corporation national from the global north, they are paying way, way cheap rather than an ordinary people. Like, for instance, the BHP pellets and the Anglo-American, they are paying 12 cents per kilowatt, yet an ordinary person, that some of them, they are unemployed, we are talking about pensioners here, they are paying 28 cents per kilowatt. So can you see that there is a huge monopoly that is actually happening there, of which we are totally against. Corporate interest, you know, we see that in most of the UN talks, they tend to have the upper hand. They tend to have the last say, because we believe that the corporation, they can lobby governments. So at the end of the day, it's their decision, you know. We can say the governments, you know, they decide. We need to put a stop in the corporation making the decisions for our countries. It should be the ordinary citizens that actually making decisions for themselves, rather than the big business guys, because they only think about profit. For them, it's profit before people. So we need to say it's people before profit.
Bongani seems right in touch with the Occupy London protesters in St. Paul's and around the world. From London, I spoke with Murray Worth, policy analyst for the World Development Movement. Even as Europe struggles with impossible financial problems, the situation is worse for developing countries. They are also loaded with decades of debt while they struggle to emerge from poverty into the modern world. That is the background for the upcoming climate talks in Durban, South Africa, starting in late November. At least $100 billion has been pledged to help countries in the South cope with climate change while establishing basic energy needs. The climate talks, in other words, cannot be separated from the economy. We reached Murray Worthy of the World Development Movement in London. Murray, welcome to Radio EcoShock.
Thanks for having me on.
Could you briefly describe your organization for our listeners?
Yeah, certainly. I work for the World Development Movement, which is a UK-based anti-poverty organization. We're a campaigning organization. Unlike others, we don't provide aid. We simply campaign on the policies of the UK and other rich industrialized countries that end up keeping poorer communities in poverty.
And WDM just hosted a tour of 8 talks in the UK by 2 South African activists. Tell us about the representative from the Shack Dwellers movement.
Yep, we had Bandile over from Abashlali, which is a Shack Dwellers movement in South Africa. They're quite an incredible movement that came out of a series of protests around the number of people that live in shack communities in South Africa. They work to oppose forced evictions from their shack communities, but also to provide basic services like healthcare, education, and electricity to their communities. For example, in South Africa, around over 40% of people don't actually have access to electricity in their homes. But in terms of the climate talks, they're part of a big society movement that's going to be organizing outside of the conference, educating people in South Africa about climate change and making sure those people's voices are being heard.
And your other guest was from the South Durban Community Environmental Alliance. What are Durban activists saying about the upcoming COP17 climate conference?
I mean, there are two real messages they're pushing, really. I mean, the first is about the South African government. When South Africa hosted the World Cup, well, it was really well heard about within South Africa. Everyone knew that it was coming. Whereas now, with this climate conference, it's not really known about at all. And the South African government aren't listening to the people. Instead, it's the interests of large multinational corporations that are being heard. So what they're trying to push for is to get the voices of communities and of local people heard by the South African government. But also for the talks themselves, they're looking for a just deal, a fair deal that puts the needs of communities over those of big businesses and looks to rich industrialized countries to actually cut our emissions, to accept our historic responsibility for having caused climate change, and also to pay adequate compensation to countries in the developing world to help them with the impacts of climate change, and also, as you said, to meet their energy needs without them having to rely on coal and other fossil fuels, which we know is no longer sustainable.
I understand there are further actions planned, including a climate caravan. What is happening and what is the message?
So there's a climate caravan that's been organized that's quite incredible. It's going sort of halfway across the African continent, starting in Burundi and ending up in South Africa. And its two main goals are really to educate people along its way about climate change. There's still less awareness in some parts of climate change and what's happening with the UN process. But also it's about getting people's voices heard in a process that's been quite co-opted by corporate interests. It's about taking messages from those communities and taking them to the talks. And also using the caravan and this space outside of the summit to get a clear sense of what people are calling for, what the alternatives are to what we're seeing debated in the United Nations. I mean, one of the big things that's going to be happening is an International Day of Action for the World Bank to get out of climate finance. So that's the World Bank, which, you know, is a massive international financial institution, which is largely discredited in the global south, to stop playing such an enormous role in delivering climate finance.
Yeah, it's one of the big stumbling blocks. According to your website, 80% of climate funding from the UK is going through the World Bank. There must be a better way to do that.
Definitely. I mean, one of the reasons why climate finance is so important is because it's about building trust between developing and developed countries. For over 10 years now, developed countries have been pledging that they'll give money to help communities in the global south to deal with the impacts of climate change and reduce their emissions. But really, we've seen very little progress so far on that. And for example, as you said, the UK is giving around 80% of its finance through the World Bank. And the problem with that is the World Bank is an inherently undemocratic organization. It was set up after the Second World War and essentially gives the richest nations the most power. Instead of each country having a say, the richest countries have a say. It's also played a key role in causing climate change, in financing enormous fossil fuel industries, mining and logging, and actually has caused this problem. It's got no place in trying to tackle it. Even in the last few years in South Africa, it approved over $4 billion for a new coal-fired power station. It's clearly not the right institution for solving climate change. And also, fundamentally, the World Bank is a lending institution. That's what it does. It lends money. But climate finance should be being given. It shouldn't be given as loans, which then developing countries lock them into further debt, which they then have to repay. So the World Bank's a completely discredited institution for giving climate finance.
Right, and there is lots of talk about solving the climate crisis with more capitalist tools. It should all be done by private companies, and there should be a carbon market with a trading scheme. That all seems to be part of these UN climate negotiations. Is that working?
No, I mean, looking at carbon trading particularly, I mean, when that was first put forward, it was seen as a kind of just a little add-on, something that could help make the process easier. Whereas now it's taken to the point where it's become kind of center stage as like the key tool to tackle climate change. But carbon trading is fundamentally flawed because firstly, it basically places the burden for reducing emissions back on communities in the developing countries and gives rich industrialized countries like the UK or the US the right to continue emitting at the rate that we have done before. So therefore, it takes the pressure off us to actually be doing what we should be doing, which is cutting emissions. Secondly, there's no guarantee that the things that are being traded are actually, that there are genuine emissions reductions taking place. A lot of the time, there's real questions around how much is actually being saved, and yet that is being used to justify more emissions elsewhere. And also, very little money actually goes through to the projects that are supposed to benefit from them. Less than 1% of the money that goes through these carbon markets actually goes to the project that's supposed to be reducing emissions. The rest just gets taken up by accountants and project managers and other people on the chain. So carbon trading is completely failing to tackle this problem, yet increasingly desperate rich countries are relying on this to tackle the problem.
And that's just the sort of scheme that got us into the financial mess that we're in with the European banks.
Exactly, and it's something we're seeing more and more, is the same kind of financial logic that underpins the financial system before the financial crisis is now being sort of moved into climate change, into a place where there's no place for that. There's no room for risk. We know what we need to do. We need to cut emissions. We know how far and by how much. But the point is that countries just aren't willing to do that. They aren't willing to do what science tells them they'll do. And they're now clutching at straws to try and find a way out of that.
Murray Worthy, I'm sad to see that my own country, Canada, has joined Russia and Japan in saying the Kyoto Protocol is dead in 2012 and must stay that way. Without any binding agreement, your organization suggests, or we could be heading up to 5 degrees Celsius, and that's an absolute catastrophe for the world and especially for Africa. Is there a better way? What should we be doing?
I think the Kyoto Protocol is the way out of this. Just 4 years ago, all the countries, including the US, Canada, everyone sat down in Bali and said, right, what are we going to do? And they came up with a fairly simple plan, which is by the end of this year, all the countries who are party to Kyoto, so that includes Canada, Japan, and Russia, commit to further emissions reductions. America, because it never signed Kyoto, would make similar emissions reductions. And the developing countries would work to reduce their emissions when supported by finance and technology from developed countries, taking into account the fact that those countries are dealing with, getting, as you said at the start, getting the people out of poverty. They don't have the resources that countries like America or Canada or the UK do. So they've got to provide resources to help them tackle it. And that framework was agreed just 4 years ago. And yet now we're seeing countries like Canada, America, trying to walk away from this and essentially just completely undermining any chance of getting a real deal on climate change. And without Kyoto, we are looking at something like 5 degrees from the kind of current voluntary pledges. And that's even if those voluntary pledges are met. There's no reason why these kind of voluntary targets would actually, there's nothing binding to force those countries to meet them. So without that, there's no guarantee that we can avoid the kinds of catastrophic climate change that really would be devastating, not just for people in developing countries, but would actually have really serious impacts on communities in Europe and North America as well.
Is the UK holding up its end with the new Cameron government?
The new Cameron government, before it came in, pledged that it would be the greenest government ever. and is currently busy sort of giving up on every single promise that it made. Recently, the Chancellor, George Osborne, came out and said that we would do no more than anyone else in Europe, completely going back on the historic Climate Change Act that was passed just a couple of years ago that put binding targets into law. So no, I mean, the Cameron government's really falling back on its pledges, and we're quite worried that they're going to keep dropping their targets ahead of Durban this year.
You are tuned to Radio EcoShock. We're hashing through the upcoming United Nations Climate Conference in Durban, South Africa. From London, our guest is Murray Worthy, policy analyst for the World Development Movement. Thank you, Murray, and good luck.
Thank you.
I'm Alex Smith. You are tuned to Radio EcoShock every Tuesday at noon on Resonance FM 104.4, London. Before we talk with a new media activist in San Francisco, let's hear just a minute from another Durban voice, Bandelisi Madelose. We need to understand Durban is already occupied. Like most African cities, and in fact most countries of the world, there is a community of people living in shacks. No electricity, no sewage, no safe running water. The police arrive only to evict them. World Development brought Bandili for an 8-city tour of the UK this fall to help raise awareness of the realities of Durban as the COP17 climate talks fast approach.
We are shack dwellers. We live in a shack dwellers, so you need to call ourselves Abasalibasa Mjondon, which means shack dwellers. We live in shacks. The reason I got involved, some say that I'm a born leader, but it's the very same reasons why the organization was formed. We live in a shack at home, and then there's no service deliveries, and we're facing a lot of eviction, you know. So that's the reason I felt like I need to help my parents through this. I need to also be part and parcel of it. You learn that it's not only you who's facing that. It's like everyone who's facing that, and that's what keeps us going. You know, in the COP17, it's only ministers, academics, scientists, big NGOs, you know, all those big corporates, those are the ones that allowed inside the COP17. And for civil society organizations, only those few individuals that can apply and go there as an observer. So we felt like this is not enough, because automatically if they're going there, there's no much big voice that they can carry inside. This is not the time for the government to take decisions for the people, but it's the time for the people to take decisions for themselves. So the struggle continues. It's a long struggle. Our former president, Nelson Mandela, said that it's a long walk to freedom. And even to ourselves, it's a long walk to freedom.
That was Bandili Madelose, a leader of the Durban Shack Dwellers Movement, courtesy of a video from the World Development Movement website at wdm.org.uk.
Check out the Radio EcoShock website. We're at ecoshock.org.